This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan's in for Baskin today. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Gentleman who has been busy covering OTAs for the Browns, day off today. That's nice. Back to it tomorrow. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. Scott, is it your money, or are you giving it to DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, it's neither, but I think the price has to be right. You know, we can talk about if the salary cap's real or not, but the Browns are already kicking that can down the road a little bit, and I just don't think you sign a blank check for a receiver that's going to be 31 years old tomorrow. After you've done all you've done at the receiver position already. So I think that does factor into the decision. I don't know if you want to be the Rams and go all in and say, all right, this is a two-year window. I think, you know, you want to try to find a balance. And if I was convinced that DeAndre Hopkins would be the answer and the difference maker, yeah, then I'd be more willing to spend. I think I have some questions about that, where he fits with the receiving core. The guys you already have, so I would not just run the blank check.
So do you think DeAndre Hopkins and the means of production, is it injuries that caused it to take that downturn, or is it the pop gun offense that he was in, or frankly, is it Father Time, Scott?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I can't say that I've studied the team, and I know there's people in the league that still think he's got a lot left in the tank, and I'm sure he would be an upgrade. Like, I don't have any question that he's better than Donovan Peoples-Jones right now. And if that's all, if that's the only concern, then yeah, then you go pay whatever you want and your receiving core gets better. And I understand that argument. But, you know, he's 31. He's missed some time with injuries, with the suspension. You know, I don't think he's ever been the fastest guy in the world. So he's more of a possession guy, which there's benefits to that too. I just don't think he's – I think the Browns have a thought that, okay, we're already paying Amari Cooper $20 million a year. It would have to be a really special circumstance to pay another guy $15 million, and I'm not convinced that they think Hopkins is that guy.
I think that's interesting. I wonder, tell me if this has any likelihood. Jeff Thomas, you know, these teams are dropping out. Jacksonville apparently, you know, comments on it, and Doug Peterson says, no, we like our guys. If teams keep dropping away, does the light bulb go off in Hopkins' head and he thinks, you know what, Cleveland's been a safe landing spot for me because of my history with Deshaun. I can go there for $11, $10 million, whatever, sign a one-year deal and see what happens. Do you think the Browns could be a fallback for him?
I do. I think that's a more likely option, is that time passes. You know, once you get through this mini camp, right, and the other teams have theirs next week, so the Browns are early because of the Hall of Fame game. You know, they're putting their training camp early. So, you know, that's kind of one deadline, right, is the mini camps this week or next week. After that, it's not the training camp. So there's some time there, right, 5 or 6 weeks for something to happen, whether it's Kansas City makes an offer, Buffalo makes an offer, nobody makes an offer, and all of a sudden, all right, can we come together on an offer that doesn't insult Hopkins and doesn't, quote unquote, break the bank for the Browns. It could be another team, right?
Right.
But I think that's the only way he winds up here, right? I don't think the Browns get into a bidding war. But if the price drops, if maybe Deshaun Watson makes a stronger push for him, if Hopkins says, okay, this is whatever, maybe it's an incentive-laden deal, whatever it is, where they can come to terms. But it, then again, that would have to be Hopkins, in my opinion, coming down from what he wants. And I don't know this for a fact, but why wouldn't he want more than Odell Beckham Jr. getting paid, since Odell didn't play at all last year?
Yeah, that's very true.
Scott Petrak, BrownZone.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, you were at OTAs. You saw Deshaun Watson throw the ball a little bit. First time we've seen him in a little bit. How'd he look?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought the biggest change from week one of OTAs to week two was they connected on some deep balls. You know, and it's 7-on-7. It's not full team drills and all that. But the first week, they took a bunch of deep shots, and they missed a bunch. And last week, he connected with Goodwin a couple times. Had the real nice story to an easy moment in the seam route in the red zone. So I thought there was improvement from week one to week two. You know, it's so hard to read, or I think it's foolish to read too much into these, right? There's no pass rush. They're going up against the same guys. Amari Cooper's not out there. You know, it's just hard. But I thought he threw it better week two than week one. And obviously, they're looking for the same kind of progression this week in minicamp.
The most interesting thing to me this entire offseason, aside from Deshaun Watson and his development, will be what Jim Schwartz does on the defense.
Yeah.
And I love the attitude that he's brought here. Thought his comments about Greg Newsom the other day were interesting. You know, and basically it was like, great, you know, we like him. He's been terrific. We're not here necessarily to make any player happy. We're here to play better defense and win football games. Basically summing things up. Scott, I love it. Want to give the guy a hug. It's true, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he commands a room. And I wrote something, I don't know, at the end of last week. You just watch him, right? And he stands. I thought this was really interesting. So they're doing 7-on-7s. He stands in front of the center, kind of like where the nose tackle would be, but facing his defense because there's no pass rush, so it's not like he's getting in the middle getting in the way or anything. Just because he wants to be right there, he wants his defense to feel his presence, and that's what he said. And he likes to hear how they communicate. He wants to see if they're picking up his scheme. So he gets as hands on as possible, and he just carries himself with the confidence of a guy with his resume, right? Been a head coach, won some as a head coach, won a Super Bowl as a coordinator, been a coordinator forever. And that's how Jim Schwartz carries himself. And that's what the Browns were looking for, right? They were looking for a little bit of swagger. They were looking for, obviously, an upgrade and coordinator from Joe Woods. And they believe they found it with Schwartz. And then the next question is just, you know, how does he relate to the players, right? And I think, you know, when he first got to Philadelphia, there was some guys, I think, that he hurt their feelings a little bit because he's a screamer. And, yeah, I can see that, right? You're around him a little bit. You can see that personality. But I think he's adjusted. He knows how to deal with guys. Rodney McLeod's there, so he can kind of smooth over anything if, you know, feathers do get ruffled. But I certainly expect Jim Schwartz to have a huge impact on this defense, maybe even bigger than any individual acquisition on that side of the ball.
One thing I love about it, Scott, the thought of rotating 8-9 defensive linemen. I've always liked that philosophy, keep those guys fresh. And I think it's twofold. It gives every lineman an opportunity, but it also puts, I think, heat on the deep guys here because it's like, hey, we're going to put you on the field. And if you don't perform, you're not going to make this team. You know what I mean? Because sometimes a guy can be the sixth, seventh, eighth lineman and not get exposed because the other guys are playing all the time. Well, here, if you're going to be out on the field and you don't do the job, you're going to get exposed, and they're going to go get somebody else. So I really love that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jeff. Right? Some guys could think, oh, it's all right, I'm going to be inactive this week. It doesn't matter. They might not have any D-linemen inactive from week to week because he wants to roll so many guys through that rotation. So, yeah, you have to be ready. You have to be ready to contribute. That's guys like Alex Wright, maybe Isaiah Thomas, right? The rookie, Isaiah McGuire, right? Those are the guys we're talking about. And then I thought also it was interesting from Schwartz, you know, he talked about using three safeties, which we know how much Joe Woods loved that. And I wasn't sure that Schwartz would do that as much, but he wants to use three safeties, and that's why they got Rodney McLeod. But he also wants to go five D linemen on pass rush downs. Probably not everyone, but he said he's going to use a lot of it. And that means less double teams for the guys up front, right? So I think Myles Garrett will benefit from that. I think Za'Darius Smith will benefit from that. My only question on the rotation, Jeff, is Myles Garrett's a guy that likes to play a bunch of snaps.
Yeah.
So So do they come to an agreement there where it's like, all right, maybe you take it easy on me in the first half, but I'm going 90% of the plays in the second half or whatever it is. Like, I think there has to be a meeting of the minds there to find kind of a happy medium between those two guys.
And the whole philosophy of Jim Schwartz on top of it is, well, I mean, we'll cover the best we can at the back end, but trust me, if we get to your quarterback first, coverage in the back end doesn't really matter.
Well, right, but he also believes that they have the corners that can cover, right? Like, the way he talks, it's, we're going to put a bunch of guys on the line of scrimmage to stop the run. We're going to go attack the quarterback because I trust my guys in the back end. And that starts with Ward, Newsom, and Emerson. But if you don't have that, you can try to get to the quarterback as fast as you want, but those guys give up a big play, it changes the game, right? So it has to be both, but I think he really feels emboldened by looking at this cornerback group.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Last thing, Scott, they're going to finish OTAs. Do you think it's going to make Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski think, yeah, we should probably add a little bit more at this spot before we start training camp?
Yeah, you know, it's been the same couple positions, Jeff. Is it, do you need one more linebacker? And I think so much of that depends on the health of the guys coming back, right? J.O.K. looks to be okay after that foot injury at the end of last year. Jacob Phillips is doing stuff. He was in drills last week more than I expect him to be. But then you have Taki Taki and Anthony Walker Jr. who aren't yet doing anything except working on the side. So do they get back into it? Do you feel like they're going to be ready to go in training camp? So there's linebacker. And then there's, what do you do with the backup running back? Right, we're all assumed Jerome Ford's going to be the guy at the number two spot. You bring in a guy at number three. So to me, that's kind of those are the spots that jump out. You know, if you can get an upgrade anywhere else, sure. But to me, those are the two biggest decisions to make.
Hit him straight, buddy.
Enjoy, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, brownszone.com. Go read all of Scott's work as he covers OTAs. And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Coming up at noon, Zach Meisel talking Guardians with us from The Athletic. 1 o'clock, Sam Amico talking NBA Finals and Cavaliers with us from HoopsWire.com. Coming up next, we'll make Jeff Thomas do it right here on Baskin & Phelps. It's one of the great events in Ohio in the springtime. And it's the Memorial Golf Tournament in Dublin. And if you like Jack Nicklaus, by golly, this tournament's for you. If you don't like Jack Nicklaus, you probably don't want to watch, because Jack's on the telecast. He's sitting up there with Jim Nance. Jim is an outstanding broadcaster, and Jim does a great job of, as if Jack Nicklaus needs to be more on a pedestal, pardon me, I have hiccups, than he does on a normal basis, by golly, Jim puts him there.
He really does like a champ. And my favorite part of the entire telecast is the fact that every time that they mention that the winner gets this lovely trophy and a handshake from Jack Nicklaus. Get to shake Jack's hand. Like it's like some phenomenal, unbelievable pride. And look, all of us in a heartbeat when it comes to Jack Nicklaus would walk up and be like, Mr. Nicklaus, you've been a hero for a long time. You were an unbelievable golfer. I loved watching you at the Masters when you came back. Like, you would go down the resume of Jack to get that hearty handshake, but it made me laugh the entire time of Jim Nance going, you get this beautiful trophy and a handshake from the great Jack Nicklaus.
As opposed to prize money.
Right. As opposed to walking up for it to him and having him, like, slap you across the face and tell you can't putt worth a grain of salt.
That's really funny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yesterday, they showed kind of like a comeback shot, you know, a bump return, and it was Dublin.
Dublin.
And Jim Nance had something about Dublin and say, Jack, you sure built this town or developed this town, or, you know, this town grew because of you. And even Jack said, well, we helped. I thought, Jim, Come on, man. There's a city council. There are taxpayers
right.
here.
We have a mayor. We've got taxpayers. We've got council members. We've got volunteers. We got all of this stuff before Jack even waltzed in the door. Like, that's even what it is. When you pump the ego up of a guy to the point that he has to look at you and go, all right, I know I've got a boatload of majors.
Helped. We helped.
I've got trophy cases upon trophy cases to prove my excellence of this game. That's a little much, Jim.
I had to laugh. It was funny. I don't know if anybody remembers but me. Back in the day when they first started the memorial, Jack's big, you know, they wear gray jackets now. When they started, they were plaid. And
really?
They were god awful.
Oh, my goodness.
So they finally toned those babies down. And now they wear these classy gray ones that look pretty nice. So that's pretty good.
That's a shame. Bring back the plaid. Be loud.
I had to laugh. One thing about this tournament, and you know, I've Dan, you were just there.
Right.
Now, I haven't been on Muirfield Village in years. And when I was there, I was working. I was a college kid working for CBS. And it was great fun. And I really enjoyed it. And it's a beautiful golf course. And he goes nuts, Jack Nicklaus, making sure that it's just fabulous. Well, guess what? It is. But I've never quite understood this, mainly because I don't know, the snootiness of big-time country clubs, I guess that's what affects my thinking on this. But they're always tinkering, you know, with the golf club. It's like the Masters. Augusta gets shut down, you know, so they can keep changing and tweaking and everything else. Well, they've rebuilt the 16th hole. And it's a par three, and I remember it from back in the day. It was a tough par three. But now it's with the way guys are hitting, you know, shots these days and hitting irons, it's ridiculous. And what they did to it was they lengthened it and they changed the tee. Jason Day, who lives in Columbus, all right, and I'm getting this from Golf Week. Jason Day said about that hole, he said, it's a stupid hole. Stupid.
So in other words, he sounds like us.
Jordan Spieth called it not a great hole in pretty much everyone's opinion that's playing today. And then a caddy was asked about this.
These are all words that I've said about courses around this fine grater.
And these
Cuyahoga
are
County,
about
Medina
changes
County
that, that Jack signed off on. The caddy says, quote, it was a crap hole before, and it's a crap hole now.
I've said that, too.
Well, yeah, but that's because of the way you play.
Right. I'm not blaming my own golf game. God, no. It's the course's fault.
Now, I hear these comments, and I think, okay. The thought is that good shots aren't rewarded. The way the green is built and the slope on the green and everything else, apparently it doesn't hold shots real well. Nicklaus described the hole this week, the green, as the size of a postage stamp, which is odd because when you and I were talking about it before the show, you said the exact same thing. And they've lengthened it. So you're hitting to a small green at 220 yards. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jack said they redesigned this hole prior to the 2013 President's Cup. And he said, it just didn't play like I wanted it or what the Memorial Field liked. The green wouldn't hold those shots, especially back left. And he said, it turned out that the left side pitched away from you. And if you've not been the case, so he said, so they took 8 inches out of the middle of the green. And so they lowered the middle of the green. You know, they just dug it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now, although the golfers use the same club as before, the green runs towards them and not away from them and thus holds shots better. Okay. Now, can I ask you this? Isn't the idea to challenge these guys? Now, I know if you hit a good shot and the green doesn't hold, that's annoying. Except for one thing. All right, well, then put it in the spot where it would hold the shot.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
So this is the argument that's taking place, because it's funny. Every great thing that takes place with Deerfield Village is because of Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson
and
his
Nicholson
unbelievable
when he,
ability. And Nicholson, when he'd shoot there every so often, do whatever else he needed to get done. But because of Jack Nicklaus and his ability to there, and everything that was crummy that took place with the golf course immediately went to the PGA Tour of America, which is who everybody is blaming for that whole location. It's always funny how that ends up happening. But that hole in itself, and I think the players are onto something. As much as, yes, I'm with you, that's the golf hole. Everybody's playing the same hole. Like, this is the same obstacle. But I think that hole played as the hardest par three in the entire PGA Tour this season.
Well, something has to be.
That was by far the hardest. And it was playing, I believe, a shot over par, I think, for everybody as well. So that kind of tells you something. When the best golfers in the world are shooting over par on a hole, it either means A, there's a really bad wind, or B, this hole is just too hard. And
all
on
right,
top
right.
of that, Columbus is having the same problem we are here, where we haven't had a lot of rain in a little bit. And
they have water.
They do, but you could kind of tell that, you know, even though the water was taking place with that stuff, these greens weren't holding the way that, like, a lot of these guys wanted them.
All right. Can I give you the quote from my favorite player on tour right now, probably?
Run with it.
John Rahm said this: "It's just a small target. That's it." Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nicholas said, for him today, and he said the tee, and they don't like the tee either. The tee's, Nicholas said, is 14 or 15 feet higher than the green elevation.
Yeah.
And he said, so it doesn't really play 220. It plays like 203. Nicholas said for him now, and Jack's what, 80, I think. He said, I hit driver. But these guys are hitting 7 and 8 iron. I'm sorry. If I go to a par 3 that's 200 yards, I'm thinking, can I muscle up a 3 iron and get there? I don't want to muscle up, but I don't hit my fairway wood very well. I'm in trouble here.
Right, but
these guys are hitting 7 and 8 iron. You put a 7 or an 8 iron in the hand of a pro, you ought to be able to put it on a postage stamp. Quit your whining.
Let's
go to Live Tour. Take your money and not have to earn it.
Go get your flow rider as you walk up to the tee. Get your entrance music. No, I get it from the tour professional standpoint. You should be rewarded for shots. Jeff, I hate to say it this way. They're being paid to play golf. You and I are paying to play golf.
Yeah, I know, but Dan,
there's a difference.
I'm sorry. If you put a 7 or an 8 iron in the hands of a pro, what should happen?
Excellence.
You should put it pretty dang close to the green. Guess what happens if I play 140-yard par 3 with a small green? You know what happens? And anybody who's listening, tell me if you're in a different boat, congratulations. If I'm playing a 140-yard par 3 with a small green, and I'm hitting my 7 or 8 iron like they're hitting at the 200-yard, I will probably miss the green, have to chip, and make a putt for par.
You make putts for par?
Well, in theory.
I don't.
But what I'm saying is, all right, I miss the green.
You can hand me any club on this planet. I'd shake it into the woods.
I miss the green.
I'd play someone else's ball that I found because it was easier than my own.
If you chip close enough, you make your par putt. If not, you know, you're three putting for double.
Oh,
well, guess,
you're
well, guess
in my
what?
Realm.
Fellas, you're making a lot of money. You've got a 7 or an 8 iron in your hand. Quit your whining.
It's more like a 5, but still. I get what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from on all of the things that you're saying. But I understand they should be rewarded for great shots, though. And if you're not getting rewarded for greatness and you're getting penalized for greatness, that's a problem.
Well, wouldn't greatness be, I know this isn't going to hold, so I need to put it down on the right corner in front. Isn't that greatness? Patrick Cantlay, who is a two-time Memorial champ, he was asked about it. He shot 67 on Friday, and he was asked what his best shot of the day was. No, this is ammo for your side. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
He said, believe it or not, I hit a really nice 6-iron on 16 that landed pin high.
Yep.
And bounced over the green.
Yep. Those greens were rock hard.
And he said, but that might have been my best swing.
Those greens were
rock hard.
How
did it look
hard.
In the air? It looked great, he said. Now, okay, ready? Do you hear anybody whining when they go to play the Open over in Scotland or in England or wherever they're playing it, and they don't water fairways, they don't water rough, it's, you know, the rough is so high, and the greens are just hard as can be. Do you hear anybody whining then? No, then it's like, whoa, I love Lynx Golf. This is great. I love the old courses. I love the late. No, just play the 16th and shut up. If you can't make your par the way the Jack has it designed, take your bogey and move along.
And of course, we have to do it this way because Jack built the city of Dublin and arguably the city of Columbus.
And the thought is, good shots, good shots aren't necessarily being rewarded. Okay? Good shots aren't being rewarded. Well, then was it really a good shot?
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No, the idea is to have the ball end up close to the hole. If you hit it close to the hole and the green doesn't hold, then you better hit it somewhere else. And I know I'm a hack saying this.
If you hit a three-pointer at the local park on a crooked rim, is it a great shot? No, the rim's crooked.
Depends. If you're hitting it over the crooked part, if you have to drop it over the elevated part, that it had perfect arch.
Again, no. No, no. In the same way I feel about this, no, Jeff, before we head to break, a little bit of news. Sham Sharania.
Oh, wait a minute. Getting off the
of
subject.
The Athletic. Sources. Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in attempts to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason.
LeBron's not.
No. But we know how the NBA works.
Luka, LeBron, and Kyrie. Oh, heaven help Mark Cuban. Zach Meisel covers the Guardians for The Athletic.
It's crazy when he might be the third craziest person on that team if they build that.
LeBron would be the rock of sanity on that team.
And Mark Cuban would be looking around going, wow.
Wow.
I kind of have it figured out.
I'll invest in that. Zach Meisel's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.